Okay, 3, 2.
You've never done that.
I know, I'm not the one.
We're professional.
I can tell. Just as what it is, and Grace is because you're here today.
Let's make it look real professional. Are we getting any pops at the moment?
Two.
I love that we just like we all laughed at the same time. We're like, what was that?
Oh, welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hola.
Special guest star Ash.
Hi.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Lisa.
Hey.
And Cassandra.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
So Cassandra.
Yeah, and a long time coming, because when Baylor changed her name, I was like, when do I do this? And
you were stuck in the moment of like, I can't change it now. Baylor just changed that. Oh,
yeah.
What a word out.
Yeah. No, I think it's also just the fact that like, yeah, it's just long time coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Justin, and we're watching a series.
You look at me like I know what's going on.
Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
So we have special guest star Ash here to tell us about Sailor Moon. What's Sailor Moon, Ash?
So Sailor Moon is originally a Japanese manga that was turned into a TV series and then dubbed in America. It's had a few different iterations over the years, but it's something I grew up with as a kid. To watch it on Cheese TV in the mornings before school in the 90s. That was my 90s childhood, was watching Sailor Moon in the morning. But yeah, so
not Dragon Ball Z. I'm confused.
No. So,
yeah. So I think I switched over to Teletubbies by then. So.
Yeah, so my brother used to watch Dragon Ball Z and then I'd come in and watch Sailor Moon pretty well straight afterwards. So
yeah. What actors are in Sailor Moon?
So
we did this when we did Monkey a few months ago and it was really problematic. Yeah. Pronounce the names.
Yeah.
What's Sailor Moon about?
Also, me and Babel don't know actors' names. So
we'll sit there and go, oh, Brad Pitt, and they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about right now. Like, George Clooney? No, I don't know who George Clooney is.
But ironically, I was watching Valentine's Day the other day, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of actors in this, because they were doing the credits and had, like, Taylor Swift, Anne Hathaway, and a couple of other, like, names that I've just seen in all these other romance movies. And I'm like, my goodness, I can't believe I know these names.
See, but what I believe they do with all of those ones, like Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and all those stupid things, is they put all of the money into getting the cameos from the actors and take the fund and the budget out of the writing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely the budget version of Love Actually. Like, it's nowhere near as good. And it starts off trying to be the same sort of thing as well. I'm like,
depends how many times you've seen Love Actually, because my mum loves watching it. And so we watch it every Christmas, and there's only so many times you can watch Love Actually.
Yes. Can I say, I've never watched Love Actually, and I'm a little proud of it.
I watched it last Christmas.
Me too, I'm even more proud of it.
I think the weirdest thing is I've seen most of it, but not in one go. So, I'm watching it when Mum watches it, and watches, this is the scene with each of the characters, but I've actually seen the entire thing from start to finish.
So what I'm understanding right now, Lisa, is that you have not seen an entirely naked Bill Nighy in front of, like, a guitar or behind a guitar. That's what you're saying?
Not in movie form, but, you know.
You've imagined it often.
Yeah.
Peeking through his windows, absolutely.
Flies through your window, just serenading you at night.
Yeah.
I've got to say, he's probably, out of anyone that's in that movie, he probably does it for me the most.
Oh,
but,
come on.
I've not seen the movie, though, so I can't say.
Darcy, are you telling me that Mr. Darcy doesn't
do it? Oh, yeah, Mr. Darcy. Oh, there's a whole heap of people in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
No, actually, I'd take Bill Nye over Colin Farrell. I know, right? Something wrong. Birth, I can't say I've got Colin Farrell as well, man. definitely over Colin Farrell, but maybe we need to...
from your poor taste.
Before we do move on, though, there's that really interesting scene at the end where the guy's got the crush on his best mate's wife. She's all of 17 in real life.
Yeah.
And then he's got a crush on her, and then has these billboards talking about how much he loves her. I don't know. It feels like it's a really problematic scene. It's a scene that's not aged well. Is that?
No. It was seen as romantic when it first came out, but it definitely has not aged well.
No.
It hasn't
aged well, but it's Keira Knightley has.
Well, I'm in for me. I'm a big Chisholm fan, and Chisholm will usually announce their songs with these big billboards. there's a meme I really like where it's got one of the guys from Chisholm standing at the doorway with one of the signs saying death, 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 Amway, Amway, Amway.
Now I'm remembering it was, Cinema Therapy, who does cinema and mental health, and the best relationship from the movie is Liam Neeson's character and his son.
Yes, absolutely. Although I do enjoy the Prime Minister and his secretary. I actually just think that's a very cute one.
Yes, it is.
One day I'll watch it.
It's fun.
Yeah. That day is not today.
It should be a Christmas special. And then we'll do Braveheart, another Christmas special. That's a great one to get drunk to and then watch it.
I've watched it with
a couple of my friends who also, Katie and Keely, and got drunk, watched it, spent the entire time going, he doesn't have shoes and there's broken glass here. Oh no. And he's like, oh, my feet are
glass 400 years ago. It's really interesting.
It's Scottish glass.
Thanks for making a comment about the kilts.
It's the least Christmas movie as well.
Why is Braveheart a Christmas movie?
I've also never seen Die Hard.
Yeah, never. No, I've not.
Or Lethal Weapon.
Die Hard's good. Yes, MK.
Nesha's lost.
I was going to ask when we're going to start talking about Sailor Moon, I think.
Talking about hate watching, we've hate watched Mac and Me.
Oh, yeah.
Mac and Me.
Mac and Me.
It's like a rip-off of E.T. that was made by McDonald's and Coca-Cola.
It was a movie funded by McDonald's and Coca-Cola.
There's like 25% product placement.
It was so bad.
Only 25%. They actually physically, it's like they're trying to bring them back to life, and they can only bring them back to life with cans of Coke by pouring it down their mouths, and their mouths are shaped like they go, so they can put a straw in there. It's just, there's a whole scene where there's people having a choreographed dance off in a McDonald's store. And as someone who worked at McDonald's when I was a teenager, I'm just like, this is not how any of this works. There's something really wonderfully beautiful that, like, sitting down with the family and hate watching something and your 9-year-old child actively just ripping on a really bad TV show.
I'm not gonna lie, I have no doubt that Mackenzie once looked like the alien. You know when their eyes are just so big and their neck can barely hold their head up?
Oh dear. That one's on Amazon Prime, by the way. Let's get back to Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon.
I've been singing that all week. Sailor Moon. That is not how the
things are
going, surprisingly,
yeah.
though maybe
you
should.
Yeah. The Netflix
reboot
will get on.
They'll listen to the podcast and go, right,
take those.
Okay, so.
Sorry, Ash, we'll let you get a bite.
Please. What is Sailor Moon about?
So, Sailor Moon is a group of high school girls. Originally, there's 5 members. It does expand later on. That become the Sailor Senshi or Sailor Guardians, depending on which translation you're looking at.
Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon.
Yeah, Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon or Pretty Soldier Sailor Moon. And they each represent one of the planets. So Sailor Moon is obviously the moon, not the planet. And then
Be astronomically saying it's a planet.
Yes.
Astrologically, sorry.
And then we have Sailor Mercury, Sailor Venus, Sailor Mars, Sailor Jupiter, and they all have their own introductory episodes. And then there's also Tuxedo Mask, who was back in the heyday, so they're all trying to fight the Negaverse, which is the big baddies that have come over from a different universe. And you do find out eventually, spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen it, that
it's 20 years.
That Sailor Moon is the Princess Serenity, which the Moon Princess that they're all trying to find, and that all their memories have been wiped, and that all the Sailor Guardians, her other Sailor Scouts, are all her court. plot. And the tuxedo mask is Prince Damien or Endymion, depending on Japanese or English version. And he is the Earth Guardian. So,
oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you talking about that or me?
Obviously you.
Wow. Statue of limitations for cuteness,
It sounds like there are four series of it, is that right?
Yeah, yep, in the originals. There's also been a semi-recent redo of it called Sailor Moon Crystal, which is now actually available on ABC iView, which just found out.
So this is a follow-on. What about Spagley? Did that come out?
So this is like the Pokemon of anime, isn't it?
I was going to say
Did Sailor Moon originally start as a cartoon? Because I reckon there might have been one back in the 80s when I was a kid, but I don't think I watched it back then.
No, the original run was 91 to 97.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sailor Moon Crystal, which is the more recent one, is 2014 to 2016. Okay. I haven't actually watched that one yet because it wasn't available without me getting it illegally. So I have not.
So I've seen TikToks. I will admit, I was not one to watch Sailor Moon initially. I was very much.
Why am I friends with you?
Well, I used to get up extra early before Cheese TV and watch. For some unknown reason, I was obsessed with the aerobics that was on beforehand. So I used to do it in the morning. I'd get up at 5 a.m. to watch that. Go figure. Instead of watching Cheese TV, and then I'd turn it off during Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z because I was a girl. No, I wasn't like all the other girls sort of girl.
Oh, yeah.
So I couldn't watch that. And Dragon Ball Z was terrible.
Yeah.
But I watched The Winx Club.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. You know, I liked that. That was my guilty pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm so bad because then during the 90s, I'd like watch cartoons before I would go to uni because, you know, I also wasn't like other girls. And, and so I was like, oh, like there's all these really cool anime shows. I remember how much I loved Astro Boy back in the 80s. Mm. Maybe I should try and get into this. Why don't I pick one that so that I can stay ahead of all these really cool anime?
Please tell me you got into Yu-Gi-Oh.
I picked Digimon. I think out of all of the horses I could have picked, I picked the losing horse. And I'm like, I've got to stick with this. I've got to try and follow this through because then I'll be able to talk to people about anime and everyone else is talking about Pokemon and Dragon Ball. And I'm like, nah.
There's a bit of an age gap between us and I would have bullied you.
Happily.
Yeah. Anybody else watch Jeanette? Have you watched
Sailor
Moon? Angus? No. Lisa?
Not
Mackenzie?
I remember they were named after planets, but then I changed the channel. And I probably would have changed the channel to Sesame Street, you know?
It's one of the series that I've been putting off watching. I follow on Tumblr somebody from America who's obsessed with Sailor Moon. So I've seen, for example, they've done a live action series, which they do clips of. They've got a few live shows.
Live shows?
Yeah. Live stage shows.
They did do a live action version.
A live action version. Maybe you could watch that.
In Japan only.
Yeah. It's like seeing clips. They also did a stage show on theatre.
Yes.
And having Tuxedo Man played by a woman, which is very, very pretty. I've seen a lot of stuff, especially referencing later Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune being cousins. Yes, they're cousins.
Yeah, so in the original Japanese version, Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune were lovers. And in the American sanitized version, they were cousins. Because, you know, America in the 90s and early 2000s cannot possibly have, you know, a lesbian couple on kids' TV.
And do you vibe with any particular... This is what I'm going to say, actually. With the TikToks, people are like, oh, I am this sort of the one of the sailors. This is the person that I vibe with the most. Do you have one that you vibe with? And is it the cat and why?
Luna was always an absolute favourite of mine. I know we are not visually recording at the moment. It is audio only, but I am wearing a Luna and Artemis dress and have Luna earrings on and have a Luna bag. So yes, Luna was one of my absolute favourite characters. She was sassy and I loved it. But I mean, I also probably do vibe with Sailor Moon herself in that she is clumsy and hectic and a bit crazy.
Manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah. As a kid, I was always relegated to playing Sailor Jupiter when we used to play as kids. I was a brunette. So even though I've got really nothing else in common with Sailor Jupiter, just because, like, she was tall, she was badass, she was the one that would go and, like, tell all the boys off and, you know, all
that
of that kind of stuff. I have no problem with it now, but as a kid, I was just like, but I'm nothing like her.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've seen Ash just... throw down on men. Excuse me, sir. What do you think you're doing? Get out of here.
For reference, I am under 5 foot.
So you mentioned that there was a live action. Have there been any other follow-ons? Or
so the live action was, as I said, in Japan only. That was in 2003 to 2004. I only actually found out of that semi-recently. I didn't realise they'd done a live-action version. And then, as I said before, the Sailor Moon Crystal, which was a redo of it. But yeah, the manga has had a massive resurgence in recent years, as with a lot of other manga. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And is there any a remake on the cards or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is there a reason why it picked back up in popularity so heavily in, like, the past couple of years as well? Because this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you in on this. Yeah. Because it has literally taken the internet again by storm.
It really has. I think part of it is just a bit of 90s resurgence and nostalgia. Like,
I'm also wondering as well, compared to, say, a Magical Girl sort of aesthetic, so it's compared to some Western series like, say, Steven Universe or, I don't know, maybe...
I was thinking Steven Universe. Or maybe like, it sounds really similar.
Yeah, or like Bean Puppy Cat and stuff with the same sort of aesthetics and style, whether that's inspired looking at the origins in Japan.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. So the setting is supposed to be... It's based on Tokyo, so it's called Crystal Tokyo. So it's supposed to be based in Tokyo, but as with, again, 90s version of anime, none of them actually look particularly Japanese. They're all very white, because unfortunately a lot of Japanese at that time were obsessed with becoming whiter versions of themselves.
So this is actually interesting. So I did an art course for a bit, dropped out, but one of the most interesting things is anime and Disney follow these main principles for making people look younger, and it's the big eye phase. So it's not because they're trying to look Western or anything, it's because they're trying to do that
babyish,
big baby, like twinkly innocence and stuff, which is why the big eye is such
And because I think it's something like, so when babies are born, I mean, the eyes stay the same size as when they're adults, and then the head kind of grows to fit, and so they've always got these big shiny eyes. Yeah.
And there's another reason
as
well. And
see, I wonder whether there was a bit of a, with the big eyes, whether it's a Western thing, but it's not. It's a babyish thing.
It's not a Western thing at all. It's very much an infantile sort of thing. Which anime tends to lean quite heavy on, especially with women characters, because there's that fetishization of teen girls, which has been around for a very long time.
Yeah. So one of the problematic things looking, like, rewatching Sailor Moon now is that Tuxedo Mask's alter ego, Darien, is a grown man and is dating, or goes on several dates with two of the different scouts, Sailor Mars and both Sailor Moon, throughout the different series. And you look at it, like, later and you're like, like, I know they're all fated from their mysterious past and all of this kind of stuff, but it's just like, oh, okay.
Okay, so I guess we'll get on and watch it, and we'll discuss which episodes are we watching.
So the episodes we are watching is Sailor V Makes a Scene and A Crystal Clear Destiny. So it's right at the very end of season one, and it's where Sailor Venus comes in for the first time, and then where you find out that Sailor Moon is the princess that we've all been looking for.
Okay. So what I was planning on doing for this one, because we're watching two episodes and wanted to change the format a little bit, is we're going to watch one episode, sit down and talk about it.
Yep.
So probably one of the earlier episode, and then with a later episode we'll watch, and then we'll come and talk about it if we think that it's changed. Because
when we watched
the Muppets, we had such a negative reaction. Then we watched the second Muppets episode with Mark Hamill, and we had such a positive reaction. I think it's a great way to just sort of
compare.
And the vibes of the two episodes are quite different.
That's good.
They do actually back onto each other, so it's an episode that backs onto each other. The storyline continues, but they are very different episodes.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That works well then.
Yeah. And I think that probably would have worked well with the rest of development because they were very different.
Yeah.
Different seasons, different episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll get on and do that.
Awesome.
We're the planet Cheers. You could be one too. Because saving our planet is a thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say. The power is yours.
We are
nerds. Seriously. Captain Planet. I love Captain Planet. It was so good.
Oh, I don't know.
So what episode was that?
That was episode 29, Sailor V Makes a Scene.
Oh my god, did they record
Sailor V Makes a Scene.
First time you've met Sailor Venus?
Yes. Yeah. So there's been allusions to her throughout existing. So she's the only scout that sort of knew her identity as Sailor Venus, whereas all the others had to be discovered by Luna and didn't know their secret identity. But she's like a little action hero that goes around and fighting crime on her own before she links up with the rest of the Sailor Scouts.
That's cool.
So we were looking at up in the 30s there for episode number. Was that season one?
That was season one, yeah.
Episode 30.
Yeah,
29.
Yeah.
So how many are in a series around about?
The next episode is the second to last episode of the season. So it's about 30 episodes a season.
About 30 episodes a season.
I think the later seasons jump down a little bit, and they're maybe about 20, but
The anime season usually goes for about 25 episodes. They typically will work towards like this half season conclusion, where they still were kind of testing to see whether or not the anime's getting well liked enough, and then they'll usually... So some animes will drop off at episode 12, and then others will
keep going.
Keep going, sort of thing, But there's usually a mid-season climax at around episode
12. So, Jeanette, what did you think? That's...
The long legs I found a bit unrealistic. The other thing, I just feel that the American accents threw me a bit, and I would have preferred a subbed version than the dubbed.
That's so funny, though, because we said the exact opposite when we watched the monkey episode, where we found it was really inappropriate to have these really bad Asian accents with the dubbing. But then that one was...
But that's because they were English people putting on an accent.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't actually...
Oh, you're saying you'd prefer the original, Japanese, and then the subtitles.
I found with watching Studio for Hibby films recently, I switched to watching the subbed rather than the dubbed versions. And it just was so much nicer, except for, like, Kiki's Delivery Service. It's obviously set in Europe anyway, and so it didn't...
That is, like, a constant battle in anime culture at the moment.
And it's hard, because something like this that's kind of aimed to a younger audience as well...
Yes, that is true.
Kids are not going to watch it with the subtitles.
For someone like me growing up, when I was, I don't know, seven or whatever, watching that, like, I didn't have any comprehension that it was done in Japan originally and done in Japanese. So that is nostalgic for me, and it'd probably sound weird listening to it with different actresses. Just for nostalgic reasons, but I can absolutely 100% get behind what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, I think it'd be really nice to have it in the Japanese.
If it was in Japanese instead.
I mean, probably enjoy it more.
Okay.
Definitely.
It was definitely sanitized a lot more in the American the deep dub version.
Angus, what did you think?
I thought it was interesting. There was something that I did notice as well. I don't know how prevalent it was, but they made it sound like every single... It's probably not every single episode, that, but they made it seem like the majority of the time the Sailor Moons would start... Sailor Scouts would start resolving a situation, and then they'd kind of need rescuing, and then need the male... to kind of swoop in and rescue the...
But then he fails to. Fails to rescue them.
In this particular episode, but it sounded like previously it's a kind of more of a running theme of him.
A little bit. So he quite often will come in and he does like one little thing that manages to turn the tide, and then they take over. And it's always the Sailor Scouts that are finishing off the fight. But he's usually that bit that turns the tide back in their favour. Normally like comes in, throws a rose at someone, and and then disappears basically. But yeah, that's one of the reasons I remembered liking this episode, is he's the one that's sort of in trouble more than and it's Sailor Venus that comes in and rescues him.
I did think they were a bit harsh to him, so that's not normal. They're kind of going, well, if he really cared about us, he would have been here to save us. And meanwhile, like, tuxedo mask. Cat? Yeah, he's behind the building kind of going...
I will admit, I think that would stand up really well today, just as a joke. The incompetence of men that people seem to see, whereas this person's, like, constantly trying to help out wherever they can.
And that's it. I kind of went, oh, that's a bit harsh, but then I guess in context to other episodes, if he is always the one that's jumping in, then it's like, oh, good, like they're finally kind of poking a bit of fun at him. And it's not like a let's bash the dude.
What do you think, Baylor?
I loved it. I actually really enjoyed it. I think I knew I was going to anyway. It feels really nostalgic, even though I've never watched it, and it's very, like, classically dubbed. There's certain inflections in certain words that they use that made me go, oh,
yes.
The 90s.
There was one particular sentence as well, and it's clear they had 10 seconds of footage, but they only had 8 seconds of dialogue. So there were unnatural pauses between, like, every second word. It sounded really staggered, and it's like,
or even better, how does sentence work in terms of flow in Japanese, but not in English? So have the pause. In certain spots for the mouth movements.
I thought it was a lot of fun. It definitely has a lot of enjoyable elements. Something that could easily be watched in the background of doing something as well.
Just very easy watch.
Yes.
You do not need to concentrate, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's fun to think that all of those frames were hand painted. It was in a time when everything was hand painted.
Yeah, but it's also because it was like, oh, that's the frame that's gonna be on screen for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And like if you move it, the person's mouth, and that's it.
So like Cowboy Bebop I find absolutely breathtaking because all the backgrounds are so detailed and intricate and hand painted, and then there's the animation over the top, which is also hand painted, but this was done in like such a stylized way that it felt like less was more, and it felt more appropriate to we're pumping out an episode a week. So we
sheer quantity
And there was still quality in what they were pumping out as well, just animation-wise, so...
Even though, like, you can also tell, oh, this is the bit they use every episode, and it's, like, 1 minute of animation, like, when they're transforming, for example.
And I love that transformation as well. I've seen so many parodies of it. It was nice to see what it's parodied from. It's good.
Just going on what you were saying, Baylor, that I remember even from as a kid how much I loved the art style, not necessarily even of the characters, but the backgrounds, like the colours that are chosen, the palettes, all of that kind of stuff, the way they draw the buildings, the way they draw the stars and the moon and the sky and all of that kind of stuff. I remember loving that. I still, if I see similar artworks today, it really reaches out to me. I think growing up with that,
and it really portrays what kind of villain, like whether you're talking to the villain or the protagonist or something like that, because in the villain it's very wild and chaotic, and it's got a lot more shape language is a big thing that I've learned in American animation. They focus quite heavily on shape language, and they don't feel like they do that anywhere near as much in anime, but they do in backgrounds and stuff. So certain backgrounds are softer, and if there's more happening on screen, there'll be less in the background. Generally there was a part where it's just like some line work and then two tones of blue to show that there were warehouses. And then it was like a little bit of a fight scene. And you're like, you wouldn't pay attention to that, but that gets the point across while still,
That's probably because of that thing of this is moving fast across this particular scene. So we can't put much effort into the background, whereas other scenes are like, they're standing here for a while. Let's put a little bit of attention into the background.
Yeah.
So what's it like watching this again, Ash?
So much of it is just a nostalgia hit for me.
A big nostalgia hit.
Yeah. you probably saw me immediately. I was like singing the song once the theme song's coming on and all of that kind of stuff.
And as soon as the song was over, you left the room.
She's like, peace, gonna leave now.
Doing the dance moves that really got us.
Sorry, this is not visual, guys. I mean,
and voguing all those movements, voguing the still shots with their arms and dramatic poses.
I just realised your earrings are actually kind of, they would be cool if they have the one cat on the outside and the other cat on the inside. That's a missed opportunity.
They've got the white on the back, but it's not Artemis on the back.
Sad.
It is a missed opportunity.
Just distracted me.
Mackenzie,
what do you think? What did you think of all that?
Come over here. Tell us what you thought of Sailor Moon.
For two pockies.
Yeah.
We will trade.
Or a chicken sushi. Tell us what you think.
I would say it's very good for what I usually see, like when I see like Naruto, I'm like, but this is really good.
Yeah. So you're not a fan of Naruto? No.
How do you know what Naruto is? How do you
know? All the boys talking about him.
What would you say this reminds you of?
Dude, she was like born yesterday. What kind of question is that? You're her mom.
I feel like there's shows that she watches that are really similar to Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Do you feel like this show gave me a real Miraculous Ladybug vibes?
No, it did not, because Miraculous Ladybug is 3D.
Oh. So there's a, I don't know if you guys have heard of Miraculous Ladybug, yeah. And it's almost like it's an anime show, but it's created and written in France. It's almost like if these French writers have gone, let's try and make an anime. They made this show. Like, it's, yeah.
No,
and
it's
even the theme song.
Don't ruin my connection with that show. I love that show.
Okay. Oh, so that means Mackenzie did not like this.
I love this that much more than Miraculous.
Oh, you actually like this more than Miraculous.
Yeah.
Would you wake up extra early before school just so you could sit down and watch this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
But I will not pack my bag. I would just go straight and went into bed after that. I would just be like, since I'm asleep.
Well, the morning routine used to be you'd get up. And you, if you had showers in the morning, you'd go have a shower and then you'd dry off by watching an episode of something. Mm-hmm. And then get yelled at because you're not eating cereal or brushing your hair or packing your bag.
That never happens, does it?
Dressed.
Every morning.
Every single morning.
Unless you're me and you're just watching people do aerobics. I did not do the aerobics, by the way. I just watched.
I'm in this real community. It's been not awakened something in me.
I was like, wow, those people are I should really do that. This 8-year-old me already showing me what being an adult's going to be like. Committed to not doing the thing immediately.
And just watching the people in very tight clothes doing interesting things.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were
Sailor Moon,
beautiful. Yeah. Women doing aerobics, so yeah, and they were doing similar hand movements.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Sailor Moon.
What, the aerobics people?
Yeah.
We did comment pretty well immediately on the body types. That Moon was very, very typical 90s Barbie style body types.
Legs up to the armpits.
Yeah. I have seen that animation to start with, the anorexic figure in another more recent.
But they still have boobs.
Yep, exactly the same.
They're like 15-year-old teenagers, but they have boobs.
Exactly the same animation style with the slender women and slender men as well. Yeah. The women have boobs and just there's no reason for it.
Well, they call that back in the day heroin chic.
Yeah.
And that was that era. That was that early to mid 90s. Yeah. It was all of the women.
The intestinal tract is actually down their legs.
Yeah. They have absolutely no body. They just look like a stick.
I think if it's males that are shaped that way as well, it's like a yaoi art style.
A bit fishy.
Do you know what the thing is, though? When men are shaped that way, they just look like you and your brothers. That's actually a realistic art style. But women shape that way. Women don't look like that. But men do and can look like that. That's the weird thing.
Lisa, what did you think of that?
Was really good, but I kept thinking of all of these other shows that it reminded me of, but then I know in some cases I just googled Miraculous Ladybug and Sailor Moon and there was just all of these links saying it, basically how much of a ripoff it is, basically how it's so similar. But then, you know, as soon as it ended, it started belting out Captain Planet and all of this. Even the moral at the end where
Sailor says.
Yes, but that was very much the style in it. Even growing up, I used to watch She-Ra and He-Man, and they used to have the morals at the end of it as well. And it was stuff like, make sure you get mum and dad's permission when you're cooking on the stove. And I remember watching that. I still remember it because I'm going, why would I be cooking on the stove? It makes no sense at all.
I mean, in my 20s, I have a microwave.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that. It was like my parents came from that era where my mum cooked 90% of the food in the microwave. Yeah. Why would we need to use a stove? But there's so much of it that I can see that have come from other things that I'm really curious to know which ones kind of came first, which ones came on the back of the other. And that's why I thought Sailor Moon was from the 80s, because it feels like a lot of those shows that I used to like to watch in the 80s
as
well.
Magical Girl very much became a genre, the whole Magical Girl sort of concept. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And that's what that miraculous ladybug thing, they said it's on the back of that magical girl anime. And I'm like, going, I don't know what that is, but you obviously do.
It definitely has that really strong girl power sort of vibe to it as well. Like, I don't know, man, even though they have a man save them every now and then, it does still feel like you can help a little bit, but I'm going to finish this myself.
Yeah, very much so.
And in the era this comes from, that's really turned the trope on its head, because it used to be that you'd have all of these guys and then you'd have this token female. And they would tend to not to, you know, you kind of think that same era comes from the same era as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and all of that type of stuff. And, you know, it was all these blokes and one token female and they'd usually get kidnapped and they'd be like, help, help, you know, it's that, that type of thing. Yeah. So
trip over and sprain her ankle.
Probably. But then it's interesting because there's this real kind of feminism in it, but the way they're dressed just doesn't feel like it'd be very useful in that situation.
Part of the costume was the nail polish on the nails.
Yeah. And, you know, how do you blend in after you've gone and saved the day when you dress like that? There's no blending.
You do a reverse transformation.
I know, but it's just, it doesn't seem very user-friendly.
It doesn't seem user-friendly, but you could also look at it as, I can go and fix a car with my nails did, a short skirt and high heels on, and still be a boss ass lady.
And I like that message.
And that's what we need to take away from that. Not the, oh, it's really impractical. Yeah, it's really impractical, but I can look like that and still do it.
And I agree, that's really
and that's
message.
Like a message that Barbie was trying to tell in the movie. Recently went and saw it, and it was very much trying to push that whole, I'm not trying to tell you to look like me. I'm trying to say you can look like a bimbo, awesome, amazing, and be president. You can look hot and do the thing.
You don't have to have the tomboy look to go with doing male activities. Because I think we've finally got past the women have to pretend to be blokes to be as good. Past that, thank goodness, because I ended up going, no, that's bullshit.
And that was very much a, like, even in the 80s, 80s and 90s, you know, even like the shoulder pads and the looking back like a linebacker.
So, Cassandra, what's your view?
View is it feels like there was no plot, but it not as a bad thing. It just felt really aesthetic in terms of, oh, he's introducing the character and it's the vaguest amount of plot to get the story, and most of it is done through aesthetics and anything else. But it did feel weird that, because I haven't seen the 22 episodes up to this point, that the rest of the Sailor Scouts, I got no idea what their personalities are, because it hasn't come through yet, because it's the 20 whatever episode. And it just feels like I'm missing bits of it that I need to gauge who these people are. Because at the moment it just feels like, oh, her powers are electricity. Okay. And nothing else to that.
Yeah, very much so. And that's probably one of the problems with the episodes coming in at episode 29 is, it does take them 29 episodes to get to the fifth Sailor Scout. That's how much world building they're trying to do around the characters themselves.
Which is good, because a lot of shows like this just kind of throw you in and just go, yep, and this is basically exactly the same as the previous episode.
There are plenty of those sort of filler episodes as well, is, you know, the Negaverse throws in a new baddie, they go and fight him, and they move on to the next one, and the next episode does the same thing. But,
there is a story arc.
Very much so.
Cool.
I think one of the things as well with Sailor Moon is that, again, I liked more as a kid. There's problematic elements to it as well, but with the main character, she's a boss lady, but she's also at the same time, you know, when she's not in Sailor Moon form, when she's in Serena form, her normal everyday person form, she's known as a crybaby. She's screaming and running around, and she's always stuffing her face with food, sitting out on school to go to the arcade and doing all of those sorts of things. All of her friends are very much more the standard boss heroes. She's not so much. And I guess, you know, it was nice watching, you know, people that could still kick ass, but
also,
you know,
be weak.
I like that a lot too.
I wonder if, because I know Daria was born from this, but I don't know if Sailor Moon was. I wonder if it's born from women of an earlier generation going, I'm told that I have to be in the kitchen, I'm told that I can't be smart, clever, save the world sort of thing. And it feels like, because that's what we got when it came to a lot of magical girl stuff, or when you did have women empowerment shows, it was very much a, I can't be this, so I'm going to break the rules and be this. And make this content so that I can inspire a little girl.
Was this written by women or by...
The original creator of Sailor Moon was a woman. I don't know about the actual show creator, but the original creator of the Sailor Moon manga was definitely
so the
a
writing
woman.
And
the original creator of characters and all that sort of stuff was a woman.
Because it looked like it was a bit of a fetish for miniskirts there.
I think it was just the way they hang the shot up.
It's not like Code Geass Angus was about to bring up, and then I rudely cut in front of him.
That there is so much fan service in that show, where there'll be a character just in basically underwear sort of thing, and it's going, do we really need this? Does this? Why is this a thing?
And it's
and then suddenly a whole heap of people like become massive fans, you know, and you go, this is why they do it.
The story's really good. It doesn't need it. It doesn't need it at all, but it's just, it's that. And also, all the characters, all the female characters, it's partially set in that high school sort of setting. All the female characters are in exactly the same skirts. The tiny, ridiculously small mini skirts with the same pan-up shot, and it's like,
or skin-tight bodysuits, because it's like a mech show. It's kind of like chess mech. It's like a chess game using mechs, like mech suits sort of thing.
It's not like chess, but it's like strategy. And
And the best way to describe how sexualized it is there's a really awkward upshot of a lady's underbits going up to her face, where she's like, getting beaten up sort of thing, or I'm ready to take this on.
Yeah, she's in the like the motorcycle, leaning forward, except the shot isn't from face on with her kind of looking out sort of thing, dealing with the situation. It's an image from behind, so you see her entire ass, like no display, so you can't see what she's seeing.
That's like there's that meme. There's like that meme where it's got male superheroes in comic books, and if they did the poses that they do with women, but for the males, and it's like where it's like all you can see is the booty and the boobs and the skin tight outfit, and they're doing the poses. And
they hacked that Batman game, so they swapped Batman and Batwoman, and so he was doing the sultry sexual movements.
There was a Spider-Man comic that came out. Cover had to be redrawn where it was like Spider-Girl or Venom Girl, whatever it is, was crawling down from something and her ass was up in the air. And that's where that was all spawned from. So they put Spider-Man in that pose, and then they were like, no, let's put Wolverine in that pose. And it just was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. You're like, how is this, you know? And then you get really poignant shows like She-Hulk, where it's just they've taken that and just gone and actually pointed it out to people.
And
some people don't like that, but I loved it.
I thought it was fine. Okay, I guess we'll get on and watch the second one.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Sorry.
And we'll do a comparison.